text in W266DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 a.m. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The case for Wisconsin's top election official to keep her job just got stronger. Terry Bell reports.
Lawyers for the Wisconsin legislature said yesterday it takes four votes to nominate the Wisconsin Elections Commission administrator to another term. Commissioners deadlocked on Megan Wolf's reappointment earlier this summer. Without an up or down vote, Wolf is a holdover under current state law. For now, that means she can keep her job indefinitely. Yesterday's opinion pits legislative lawyers and the Wisconsin Attorney General against Senate Republicans. They plan to hold a confirmation hearing today. Wolf says she won't be there. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Chief Justice of the Wisconsin Supreme Court will list a job opening for the Director of the Wisconsin Court System. That is despite the position being filled on an interim basis by the court's liberal majority earlier this month. Chief Justice Annette Ziegler has criticized the majority's changes to administrative rules during the month of August. Emails surrounding the job posting were leaked to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. People who depend on federal food benefits are keeping a close eye on Congress. The current farm bill expires at the end of September, and lawmakers may not renew it on time. Carmen Cumberland is a food bank executive.
What we would like to see is our congressional leaders to reauthorize and increase what food banks are getting in food purchases because of the numbers we're seeing.
Cumberland says the working poor rely on the SNAP program to feed their families. Leaders at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee say its two-year campus in West Bend should not merge with a nearby technical college. Nate Wegehout has more.
The new report comes after Washington County officials recommended merging the UW branch campus with the nearby Moraine Park Technical College. That call came after years of declining enrollment at UW-Washington County. Officials, as part of a university work group, said that instead the UW campus should simply work more closely with the tech school. The work group found that 45% of students at the UW campus would be less likely to attend a merged school and instead recommended integrating the campus with UW-Milwaukee over several years. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
An invasive species thought to be managed in the Great Lakes is on the rise once again. Sea lampreys are parasitic fish native to the Atlantic Ocean. They decimated the lake trout population in the Great Lakes throughout the 1950s. Since then, efforts by the Great Lakes Fishery Commission have rebounded the trout and salmon populations. Mitigation efforts slowed during the COVID-19 pandemic, and lampreys are on the rise again. GLFC says the lamprey population will always exist and will need to be continually managed. That's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, and this is Civic Media News.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Later today is when an advisory kicks in for Lake Michigan beaches. A beach hazard statement is active from this afternoon until Wednesday night for Racine, Milwaukee, and Kenosha County Lake Michigan beaches. Waves of 4 to 6 feet and hazardous currents are anticipated, resulting in perilous swimming conditions due to those high waves and onshore winds. Beaches named in the advisory are Big Bay Beach in Whitefish Bay, North Beach in Racine, and Simmons Island Beach in Kenosha. Downtown digital kiosks are coming to Waukesha. Pete Schwaba has more.
The city says they're installing the units over the next few weeks, and they are expected to be up and running in October. The digital display boards in high-density areas will use graphics and technology to offer maps, business locations, and event information. They can be remotely updated for conveying timely, important messages.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Brewers make it 9 in a row. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Cubs last night, the final from Wrigley Field, 6-2 in favor of Milwaukee. The crew jumped out to a 4-0 lead in the top of the first, thanks to home runs by Christian Yelich and Mark Canha, Brewers manager Craig Counsell.
I mean, I think when you start out a road series and, you know, a game that, you know, everybody's anticipating a good atmosphere from the crowd, like just doing that to the home team in the first inning is, well, what more can you ask, really? Couldn't start a game out better.
Wade Miley held Chicago to just 2 runs off 4 hits over 6 innings. The left-hander on what was working for him.
The uses of my changeup. It's been down a lot, like 8% down. And it's kind of rated as my worst pitch right now. And it's kind of been the pitch that's gotten me along for the last couple of years and made a point to throw it more tonight.
Chicago committing two costly errors, Cubs shortstop Dansby Swanson.
I think at the end of the day, like, the biggest thing for us is just playing our brand of baseball. Obviously, we didn't do that tonight. But I know that, you know, we're capable of so much more, and we'll be able to come out tomorrow and play better.
So the Brewers now with a 9-game winning streak. They are 5 games ahead of the second-place Cubs in the NL Central. Game 2 of the 3-game series is tonight at Wrigley Field, first pitch 7:05. NFL. The Packers have until 3 o'clock today to meet the league deadline of a 53-man roster. That's 37 players to be released. The first was veteran punter Pat O'Donnell yesterday. The 32-year-old former Bears punter spent just 1 year in Green Bay. He's been replaced by 24-year-old Daniel Whelan, who's kicked some of the longest punts ever seen on the Packers practice field. Whelan was born in Ireland before moving to Palm Springs, California.
There's a lot of chapters in my story, I would say, but you know, I was about 13 years old and my mom got a job in Palm Springs and she got it and we just basically said, yeah, we're just gonna up and move. We only came here with 2 suitcases, and then I went like straight into high school, and I did not know a single thing about football.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Brother, what's up? This is a big party, man.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, Earl. How are you?
I'm doing fine, man. I'm doing fine. Got a lot to talk about. As always, we want to get right at it. I want to welcome to the show Miss Lindsay Tyson. She's with Apprenticeship Wisconsin. Good morning to you, Miss Tyson. How are you?
I'm doing well this morning. Thanks for having me.
All right. The long-awaited opportunity to have dialogue with you. Let's talk a little bit about Apprenticeship Wisconsin.
Absolutely. That's why we're here.
You know, I understand. I spent 34 years in industry, and I constantly talk with young people in schools about the apprenticeship opportunities and the fact that so many baby boomers who have been apprenticed are retiring, and that if ever there was a wide open career path to middle class lifestyle, it's apprenticeships.
Yeah. And the youth apprenticeship initiatives that are happening in Wisconsin are really taking that thought process and bringing it to talking to sophomores after their sophomore year in high school, talking it over the summer about what opportunities are before them. Wisconsin's really leading the push of what a lot of high schools around the country realize they need to do in making students both college and career ready.
You know, the fact that in this nation, we've led so many people to college and you know, careers outside of the trades. And when I was a young man, the trades were certainly something, and granted, that was a long time ago, but the trades were always talked about, and all of us had to, as young people, had to go through males anyway, wood shop, metal shop, mechanical drawing. All of those were, they weren't electives. They were all things that we all had to go through back during those times. And it led so many guys into the apprenticeships who were able to live these middle class, strong middle class lives. And so something happened along the way in the schools. They kind of got away from that. You know why?
So our research doesn't really touch on that particular topic of why there was a shift from that. But what we did find out is how we're seeing the efforts being made to bring those opportunities back to students. Who are they inviting into the classrooms? What does career readiness look like? What kind of persons from the communities can they bring in? So opportunities to have exposure to those types of fields are coming back in. From our understanding, again, it's not, you know, required anymore, but we are seeing a lot of efforts that those are spaces we need to not expose just to the guy students, but expose to all of the students.
Well, there's no question there are more women who are involved in the trades now than they've ever been in my lifetime. And I'm 69 years old. I remember a time when women weren't allowed or not directed into trades. But that's not the case now. Women are all over the trades, and you'll see them on construction sites, you know, plumbing, you know, electricians and all of those kinds of things, and the opportunities that exist in those areas and the amount of money they make far outstrip almost all the career paths that you see in these universities.
Yeah, well, it's the Urban Institute has done a couple of different research projects on apprenticeship and the amount of money that we see an apprenticeship who completes right out of their high school and starting on their career, their lifetime earnings can be up to $300,000 more than someone who goes the college route and goes into a career after that. So just that extra time spent working and making money while you're learning how to do your profession can really set you up for success, as well as it's just a more direct pathway to the career you're looking to get into.
Well, not only that, you wind up with no debt, because in most instances, the trades pay for your education.
Absolutely. Yeah. So while it's not a requirement in the state of Wisconsin for the trades, the sponsor to pay for the education, we do see a lot of, especially in construction, that's the route they go where they are paying for that education component. But it is expanding as well into some non-traditional trades, such as health science and education, communication, information technology. And we're still getting individuals into these accelerated programs where they're taking less coursework. So the overall cost to the individual who might be taking on schooling is still significantly less than that traditional four-year degree.
So you said you guys start this in sophomore high school?
So the Youth Apprenticeship Initiative in Wisconsin, the plan is that all individuals who are exiting their sophomore year of high school will be presented the opportunities of the Youth Apprenticeship Program and also understand what's going to be available to them as far as registered apprenticeship when they turn 18. So that means that there is a relationship between the school and the Youth Apprenticeship Consortiums. There's 39 across the state. To get out to all of the high schools and make sure that they talk to their entire exiting sophomore year class of, hey, you have this work opportunity coming up in your junior and senior years in all of these different career fields. Is this something of interest to you?
You know, when you look at artificial intelligence, and there's this concern, and rightfully so, that artificial intelligence is going to replace a lot of people. And then many people with college degrees may wind up losing their jobs because of artificial intelligence. Not so in the trades. I don't think artificial intelligence is going to be able to replace anybody who's a plumber, who's an electrician, who's a steam fitter, who's a carpenter. I mean, these career paths will be there, and they'll stand the test of time. I don't care, you know, if it's 30, 15. A plumber is still going to be a plumber. A carpenter is still going to be a carpenter. And these trades are still going to be there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, not something that we touched on in this particular project, but it is something that we're hearing a lot more about now. What can I prepare my kids for that's going to give them a career that's going to last them the entire time that they want to work? And those labor-intensive careers that you mentioned, such as electricians, carpenters, plumbers, HVAC, steam fitters, iron workers, their jobs will definitely, just as, you know, technology has continued to change how we do certain things, but the job itself, the occupation itself is going to remain as we have these artificial intelligence components coming more into our workforce.
You know, excuse me, you know, Monday is Labor Day, and I'm going to be doing a live remote, and I'm going to be amongst tradespeople. As I enjoy being around them. And you can just see when you see the number of families and people who are in the face of the fact that, you know, it's more difficult to survive in America today financially than it ever was. When I see you and when I'm around tradespeople and I'm having conversations with them, they're not seeing that. You know, what their opportunities to thrive in the midst of all of these changes that are happening in this nation, as far as, you know, jobs are concerned, they're not concerned, because these people are in good shape. Because again, as we said before, these are career paths. The last time I checked, it doesn't matter, you know, if you're in New York, California, Las Vegas, or if you're in China, these trades are still the same. And it makes you marketable.
So it definitely does make you marketable. And that's another thing about how Wisconsin has set up their apprenticeship program, which is different to a lot of the rest of the country, where the same pathway that a junior in Green Bay, Wisconsin goes through is going to be the same as someone doing the same occupation out in Monroe or out in Milwaukee. That makes it really transferable for, let's say, the kid wants to move north or south or across the state. They really make it transferable, and we see that in both Wisconsin's youth and registered program that makes them appealing to employers across the state and really across the country. What they've put together in their apprenticeship system is what a lot of other apprenticeship systems in the U.S. have wanted to be able to accomplish.
So what do you want to say in closing?
So a couple things I wanted to say in closing would be that the biggest thing that we saw with the Wisconsin Youth Apprenticeship Program and what brought us here is the immense amount of growth that they were able to bring. In 2013, they had only 2,292 students, and then in the 22 to 23 school year, saw 8,358 students. With the labor shortage going on right now, we want to remind and inform employers that there are young people who are willing to give either 450 or 900 dedicated hours to work. And they're productive workers. We see over and over again in apprenticeship studies that what young apprentices are bringing is productive work, adding value to the business. If you're not looking at young people to start filling in the jobs of, as you said, those boomers that are retiring out of some of these skilled occupations, you're going to have a problem. Attracting students when they're younger, getting into their ideas of what might be a successful career pathway is something really important that I think all employers across all industries need to take a better approach on. And in our study, in our research, we found that Wisconsin's making some great efforts.
Ms.
To get
Tyson,
that to the young people.
I want to thank you. We'll reach out to you again. Thank you very much for the call. When we come back, we'll be joined by Joel McNally. We'll be right back.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed Group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago, and that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with a slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Daytime highs approaching 79. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows around 50 tonight. High of 70. Tomorrow, bright sunshine. Clear skies Thursday with highs around 75. 82 Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
At 844-967-2789. Text us, it's that same number. On the air, you know, a troublemaker. a fellow troublemaker. Joe McNally, award-winning journalist, amongst all sorts of other things. Good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
We're doing great. And glad to make all the trouble we can.
Yes. And you know what, Joe? In today's reality, we need more troublemakers. And I remember former Senator John
Lewis said that a lot.
Excuse me?
John Lewis said that a lot.
Yeah, you just took the words out of my mouth. Good trouble. and you know, and you what we are faced with, Joe, let's just go here. We keep talking about Donald Trump and he commands attention. What I don't understand, Joe, is you look at him in totality of what he's done with his life, the things, that negative things that surround him, and yet people keep saying, I'm going to support him regardless. And what I don't understand, Joe, is whether Donald Trump gets another 4 years or not, Donald Trump will soon be off the scene, and people have sold their souls for this man. Why?
It is going to baffle people like you and I, Earl. It really is. Because we're good people.
Well, I mean, some of those people who support him were.
I think it is that simple. Obviously, he has touched an anger and a hatred, and some of the ugliest elements of humanity. I mean, he really has. And you can call that political genius if you want, but it upsets me when I read stories about someone, journalists that you and I know, saying things like, you have to admit, that he has figured this thing out.
Yes.
No, he hasn't figured anything out. He is incapable of figuring anything out. He really is. He is not an intelligent human being. And you and I have talked about this before. I don't even believe he's a sane human being.
I don't either.
And I say that every time I say that, a good friend of mine is about to publish a great book about mental illness in her family, and I have known I've lost two friends to suicide. I've known people with mental illness. I really highly respect a great organization there in Milwaukee called the Grand Avenue Club, which has mentally ill people organizing their lives and getting employment and getting jobs and working in jobs and coming there every day to organize their lives. I have known wonderful people dealing with the mentally ill. But boy, these people aiding and abetting Donald Trump in all of his delusions and his vicious hatred, that's not dealing with the problem. And he is the problem. The hatred in America is a problem. The racism in America is a problem. The hatred for women, for LGBTQ people, for anyone who isn't a white male supremacist within the Republican Party has simply destroyed the Republican Party. And every time you say that, someone says, well, are you calling all Republicans racist? No, as a matter of fact, I'm not. But you know what? If you support Donald Trump today, you either support racism or you aid and abet racism. And I don't care whether you really believe that or not. I don't care about all of those Republicans in the Senate who know that Donald Trump is a danger to democracy and is a horrible, ugly person. But openly support him anyway because they want the support of the haters and the racists and the militias that attack the capital of the United States.
You know, Joe, I have to say this. As long as I've known you, I've never heard you speak in that tone because I've never heard you. You always talked about the balance in the Republican Party. Yeah, really. I mean, just so people understand what Donald Trump has done to a guy like you who was fair and balanced,
you and I have had this discussion a lot, and what I've always tried to tell you over and over is when I say that there are decent, intelligent people in the Republican Party. I know that there are, but I don't care if they're going to support hate and racism and misogyny and abolishing rights for women. What difference does it make if they're smarter than that? You know what? If you're smarter than that and you're to get the votes of those people. Especially at a time when the democracy itself is at risk. If this man is elected again, he's going to abolish the democracy.
Joel, hang on. Listen, we've got to go to a break. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Let me feel and not keeping me crazy. Smile.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Idalia powered up to hurricane status this morning. It's expected to gain strength as it bears down on Florida's west coast tomorrow. Fort Myers Beach Mayor Dan Allers.
A lot of us are still living in trailers from Ian. Please do not stay in the trailers. They're not safe to stay in. Even with a minor surge, they could float.
Police in North Carolina still looking for a weapon and a motive in yesterday's shooting death of a UNC Chapel Hill faculty member. Campus Police Chief Brian James says the killing appears to have been targeted.
Based on witness information at the scene, UNC police were able to identify a suspect, and after a search of the surrounding area, the suspect was taken into custody.
His name has not been released. Among the Biden administration's first drugs targeted for price negotiations in a bid to cut Medicare costs, the popular diabetes treatment, Jardiance, and the blood thinner, Eliquis. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Milwaukee's health department initially thought that Milwaukee Public Schools were conducting lead testing on the district's water fountains, but it's been revealed that that wasn't the case. Despite the presence of new water fountains equipped with lead filters, the city's health department is advising the school district to resume water testing. MPS introduced the new water fountains in 2019 and hasn't conducted water tests since then. A Waukesha Quick Trip might be getting bigger. Nate Wegehopt has more.
The company is requesting permission to make its Grandview Boulevard location bigger. They want to add 1,100 square feet and rebuild the car wash. This is happening because Quick Trip recently bought a nearby property that used to be a bank. The Waukesha Plan Commission is on board with the expansion, giving its recommendation at a recent meeting. The full council must now approve.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844 967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Joel McNally. You know, Joel, these are dangerous, dangerous times in this nation. And for those people who keep supporting Donald Trump and they say, well, you know, Donald Trump's a bad guy, but so is Joe Biden. Donald Trump's a liar, but so is Joe Biden. Donald Trump is this, but so is Joe Biden. Come on, Joe. How is there any comparison between the two of these guys?
There isn't, and there never has been. The fact that, you know, remember how he got elected over Hillary Clinton? Hillary Clinton, someone complained that she used the wrong computer server. That was her crime, and her crime that she was, and these rabid supporters of Trump were yelling to lock her up, and he was leading those cheers for the computer server she used.
Right.
And this was a man who was caught bragging about sexually assaulting women.
Oh.
This was a man who then publicly tried to overthrow the democracy of the United States by calling his militant armed supporters to Washington to prevent Joe Biden from being certified as the winner of the election. And his own vice president refused to break the law and violate the Constitution for him. And therefore, you know, he was not allowed to continue to be the president of the United States after the American people threw him out of office by the largest vote in American history. But that was really bad about how Hillary used that computer server that she wasn't supposed to. He committed constant crimes. As in office, he committed constant crimes. There's no question about that. And he's now being indicted for the crimes that he committed during his presidency. The Republicans refused to vote to throw him out of office or to prevent him from seeking office again, even though Mitch McConnell got up on the floor of the Senate after he voted not to convict him for his crimes and said that he should be prosecuted for them. Well, now he is being prosecuted for them. And he's being prosecuted for them both by the federal government and by state governments all over this country, because in 7 states, including Wisconsin, he had Republicans violate the law by pretending to be they were the electoral votes from Wisconsin for Donald Trump, even though Joe Biden won Wisconsin and he won Arizona and he won Georgia and he won the other 7 states. And now those states are starting to prosecute all of those Republicans who violated the law and submitted fraudulent documents as fake electors to claim that they won the votes in those states when they didn't. And that's overthrowing an election. Now, is there any bigger crime in this country than overthrowing democracy? And he's being prosecuted for it. And now his party says, even if he's convicted of those crimes, they're still going to nominate him for president. And in Milwaukee, at a debate when a bunch of Republicans claimed to be running for president, they said, no, we really support that guy. Well, why are you running against him then? It doesn't make any sense.
Joe, I guess, you know, you've laid it out so succinctly. People, this is common sense. And for yes. people to, they're saying, and Donald Trump has led people to believe that Joe Biden-led Justice Department is interfering with the election. In other words, he's running again.
He's running on remaining president, even though 7 million more Americans voted against him than voted against Joe Biden.
So Joe, it is. It's nonsensical, but it's true. It's true that these people are all in for him, and so. He's got almost a 50% lead over all the other Republicans that are running. And you have to ask the question, Joe. So when here's where he's got these people so snookered. When he took his picture, his mugshot.
I think that's the best mugshot I've ever seen.
Well, yeah, he
terrific mugshot.
He had his hair done, and he said he's a strawberry blonde. And I read where he actually took time to practice poses. He did. I read it for the snapshots.
Yeah, okay.
So he knew they were going to go on T-shirts and mugs. And what did the sheep do? $7 million the first day they bought all his merchandise. And these poor people, Joe, will follow him off a cliff. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I always want to point out when everybody says, you know, he has overwhelming support in the Republican Party. He doesn't really have overwhelming support in the Republican Party. He has about 30%. There's a hardcore 30% who are the insane people who believe everything he said. You probably might have already talked on the show about the poll that showed that something like 70% of the MAGA Republicans say they believe Donald Trump to tell them the truth.
Yes, more so than their pastors.
More than their family or their friends.
Or their pastors.
Or their pastors. Yeah, he is the truth teller. Every time he opens his mouth, he tells lies. We said this before, but we've all known people in our lives who lie a lot, but we don't know anybody who lies every time they open their mouth. We really don't. I mean, that is a cartoon character of a cartoon caricature of liars. Someone who just lies like they breathe.
But you know the worst part about it, Joe, is the man is running to become president again.
Here's the part where I always want to make people feel better, but except that people are so afraid of him because we never thought he could get elected the first time.
Right.
And you know, I was wrong about that. I admit I was wrong about that because I really didn't think there were that many racists in America. Because they weren't allowed to say that stuff out loud, and they were really mad about it. They were really mad that they couldn't express their racism out loud. And so as soon as he came along and he started openly, spewing racism, telling black people black Americans to go back where they came from. They're Americans. but those kinds of it's sort of like the eeny meeny miny mo thing from our childhood. You know, the things that people used to say out loud, they weren't saying out loud anymore. So when he came along spewing that crap out loud, they called that telling it like it is. And anyone who has ever said that phrase about Donald Trump, you don't have to question whether they're racist. They are. And I know they all say that they don't have a racist bone in their body, but every racist I've ever known in my life has said they don't have a racist bone in their body. But their minds are a cesspool. They really are. And they are the ugliest racist you can imagine. And they were so delighted that he came along expressing all those things out loud, which they called telling it like it is.
You know, Joe, as a man of color, it is refreshing to hear you tell the truth because, you know, people hide behind that and they hide behind the fact that Donald Trump is, you know, all of these things. But going back, Joe, when those folks marched in your city. And Oath Keepers and the Boogaloo Boys and all of those people marched in Virginia, and I remember calling you and having you talk over the airwaves about that ugliness that you saw, and Donald Trump bagged that way back then. And yet you hear people say, well, you know, Donald Trump has done more for black people than any other president in the United States history. And people will argue with me about that on the airways, Joe. Yeah. And they can't.
We know that we know the initials of some of them.
Yeah. you know, Joe, but all of this to me. At a time when this nation is facing some real hard things that we're gonna have to overcome as a nation, really hard times and issues, we're wasting all this time defending a criminal, man who, well, they shouldn't do this while he's running for office. What are you talking about? Here's a man who's going to be convicted. And you're going to support him anyway, Joe? This is unheard of stuff. This is really some crazy stuff that people are trying to force us to accept, Joe.
Yeah. I have never understood any argument that says that you shouldn't prosecute criminal politicians. And, you know, you're allowed to be a criminal if you're a politician. I mean, if you break the law, isn't that the reason why you shouldn't be nominated for president? Isn't that the reason why you should not even consider running for president? Yeah, I mean, you know, Richard Nixon,
we thought he was a bad fellow.
Because around him— he was a criminal. He ran a criminal gang out of the Oval Office to burglarize the Democrats and break into their offices and steal things from them.
Hey Joe, hold the thought. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. I mean, it's unbelievable. Joe McNally's on the line. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon, with a slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs level off around 79. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, lows dip down to about 50. Sunny skies again tomorrow, high of 70. Clear skies Thursday with a high of 75. 82 Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is Joe McNally. Let's go to the phone lines and CJ. CJ, good morning.
Good morning, Earl and Joe. As I listen to your talk, it amazes me because your party is the one that celebrated Adam Penselneck's shift, 2.5-year lie after being censored, for lying to the American people for 2.5 years when it was the Clinton campaign that was actually colluding with Russia. And the mere fact you won't acknowledge that, and why would we want to go back to a secure border, inflation at 1.4%, growth, GDP growth at 6.8%. Why wouldn't we want to go back to that? And any one of those candidates, Republican candidates, will bring those policies back.
Hey CJ, so it does not matter that Donald Trump tried to overthrow the government, right? That doesn't matter to you.
Yeah, when he said go peacefully, yeah, right. Play that part, Earl. And who's who's the boss of Mr. Clark? Who's the boss of Merrick Garland? Yeah, it's Joe Biden. Remember when you used to call it the Trump Department of Justice, the DOJ, the Trump DOJ? You never referred to it as the Biden DOJ.
Okay, we got you, CJ. Huh. Thank you very much for the call. You know, Joe, CJ is one of those guys who've drank the Kool-Aid, right?
Golly, how could I have predicted that CJ would call? Yeah,
just a few minutes after I said, we know the initials of many of the Trump's most, bizarre report supporters. He really hasn't heard that Vladimir Putin supported Donald Trump's election. He really doesn't know that, do you think?
Well, if he watches Fox News, he'll never know
sure
that.
I'm pretty sure he does know that. I'm pretty sure he was probably enjoying the overthrow of the government on January 6th, just like Donald Trump.
Well,
was.
But
Donald
Joe,
Trump
you heard
was,
him say
chortling over it while he watched it on television.
He heard Donald Trump say, "Go in peace." after they destroyed,
I don't think he said "Go in peace" at that point where he said. Mike Pence has betrayed you, and you should kill him.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't say it that. He didn't say it that explicitly.
I know, but
later he did say that he thought that Pence deserved the hanging, that the insurrectionist that Donald Trump sent there to the Capitol. That there was an, I don't believe that CJ believes the things that he says. I really don't.
We've got a more sane conservative who's on the line, Julie from Franklin. Good morning to you, Julie. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hi, Earl. Hey, Joe. I just turned on. I do think, Earl, I love your show. And we usually, agree. We're kind of in the middle on things. I do think this whole conversation's a little hypocritical. Like, you guys are laughing when CJ hangs up, there's something wrong with him. But I think it seems like you're talking the exact same way he does. He's passionate about his party and what he believes in. You're passionate about yours, but we're not. Why are we talking about Trump? Why aren't we talking about stuff that we need to fix in this country?
So, Julie, we have to talk about Trump because Trump is all over. I don't care what news outlet you open up, wherever it is, Donald Trump is front and center. They talk more about Donald Trump than they do any of the issues that we are dealing with on a daily basis, Julie. And that's why we're talking about him, because people have put him front and center. And he's put himself front and center. And to ignore the fact that a man who is running for president of the United States is facing 4 criminal charges, you can't dismiss that. The fact of the matter is he shouldn't be running. Based on his record and what he's done, Julie, and yet people are still supporting him with all the things that he's done. That's the issue.
Absolutely, I absolutely agree with you. He shouldn't be running. Anyone that's under investigation for any kind of criminal activity should not be running.
Yeah, but he is. And,
right.
he's 50% of the vote in many instances.
I don't know the poll stuff. Like you said, the media. The only thing they're talking about in the media is Trump. Why? Because they get ratings? They're just, it's this 4 years we're going on and on with this guy. Figure it out. They want to talk about Trump because they don't want to talk about Biden and Hunter or whatever's going on there or what's really happening in the country.
So we're going to let Joe respond to that on the other side. We've got to go to it. Joe, we've only got a couple seconds left. We'll let you respond to it. We've got other callers on the line. But she does represent a belief in this country that we shouldn't be talking about Donald Trump. And as far as laughing at CJ, a man who constantly, dismisses the realities of what is going on and then delusionally points out things that he believes. Well, you know, sometimes that's comical. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Joe McNally is on the line. You can join us. We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming.